This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Wrong reviews it all on Joy Drive with Em and Warren.
Susie Wrong, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Em and Warren.
It's great to have you. Hey, Susie, I want to say, congratulations on the news in Singapore with the decriminalisation of, gay sex, but there's a bit of a sting in it too, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess I am a little bit glass half empty. I mean, I should remember that it's a great achievement. It's taken a long time to get here. But, you know, they've decriminalized sex between men, but they have sort of tried to make their marriage laws firmer, shall we say? Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah.
They wanted to make it so that you can't sort of mess with the marriage laws, and it stays strictly between man and woman. That's what I gather.
But I suppose at least it is a big thing for Singapore, isn't it? And we don't want to take away from the celebration of, yes, it's great that it's been decriminalised, but there is this sort of, you know, we've given you something, but we've also said no. But at least, you know, for an Asian nation, it's progressive, which is good.
Yeah, I think it's a new stage of the activism, because now it feels like for the longest time it was always ignoring that, like neglecting. You know, it was like pretending that gay people, queer people didn't exist in Singapore. But now it almost opens the floodgates a little bit. So you kind of have to understand and that you live amongst gay people. And I think that will open a new chapter of discussions in Singapore and society. And hopefully that takes us to another new level of equality in terms of marriage. You know, I feel like with this decriminalization that's happened this week, I feel like it's 50 years behind places like Australia. Didn't it happen in Australia like in the 70s? I think
in different states at different times.
It is a
bit behind. But I think, Susie, we were talking a little while ago about, you know, the Pink Dot movement over there and the protest that was held. And I remember there was a comment made, I think it was in The Guardian at the time, of someone there, and they said, oh, look, you know, it's one day of the year where I get to be myself, which was really sad to read. I'm assuming that movement will be, you know, energized by this anyway.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting you brought this up, because for the last, 10 or so years, the whole point of Pink Dot is to try to get attention on this repeal, the 377A, I don't know what they call it, in the law. So Pink Dot still can happen in June, and they would have to bring on a new reason for it. So I guess marriage could be it, if not something else. Yeah, you know, aside from marriage also, like, they've also talked about how they aren't going to change anything in media. Like, media representations are going to remain the same, as in queer people are still going to be wiped out from the media. So those are two things, marriage and media, that needs to be addressed. So hopefully the next step of it is going to be easier, that it's not going to be another 50 years before queers in Singapore can get married, because that's way too long.
Hopefully. Well, speaking about the opposite, with queer people actually being represented in media, we watched Anything's Possible this week.
Yeah. Kelsa and Carl are 17-year-old teenagers going to the same American high school. A mutual attraction forms between them, but things are complicated because Kelsa is a trans girl and Carl is a cis boy. The two feel that they are going to ruffle a lot of feathers should they decide to pursue a relationship. In this new film, Anything's Possible, streaming on Amazon Prime Video, what looks to be a regular teen romance turns out to be quite the eye-opener. We see the pair negotiate social expectations, but more interestingly, Interestingly, it is their discovery of how two people can fall in love when only one of them is queer. In the absence of examples of trans people in love, Kelsa and Carl have to figure things out for themselves, and in the process, we are invited to witness a new romantic narrative that is all about trans joy. Anything's Possible shows us how trans people can fall in love and how we are valued. It also demonstrates what it would be like for someone to be in a relationship with a trans person. The film's tone and style are very commercial. In fact, some might say its film language is quite pedestrian, but I do think that Anything's Possible is something we've never seen before. Neither Kelsa nor Carl feels shameful about who they are and who they love. Additionally, both of them are shown to have the support of family members. The troublesome thing is that they have to deal with the transphobia that does exist, that does have an impact on their life together. There is also a small scene about the two not really knowing how they feel about sex, and even though it was brief, it is important that an example and an attempt was made to represent the reality of dating and sex for trans people. It's very earnest filmmaking, but also very sensitive and very considered. What do you think, Emma Warren?
I actually really enjoyed this film. Like, it's very much, you know, it does, as you mentioned, tackle a few moments of transphobia, and there are moments where, you know, there's conflict and uncomfortability, but all in all, it's quite an enjoyable film. Like, it's really kind of an easy watch. I really liked that the whole kind of film was sort of under this umbrella of Kelsa likening people to different animals and then unpacking why she thinks, you know, that person is
that type of
animal. Yeah, and that was like the through line for the whole film. I thought that was like a nice, clever through line. I enjoyed that, and I thought that it was quite great. And another thing that really stood out to me that I loved was her mum. Like, her mum was just so lovely and generous and cute. And there was this moment in the car where her mum was discussing her divorce from Kelsa's dad, and Kelsa, you know, was like, it's my fault because, you know, I'm trans, basically. And the mum had this really lovely, you know, moment where she was like, absolutely not, like, we're our own humans, and we fell out of love, like, that just happens. And that was, like, from a personal level, from my perspective, like, that was a really important conversation, and one that, you know, like, potentially I wish I had have heard, you know? So it was a really beautiful, nice moment, and I connected with that really well. My only qualm with the film, really, Susie, is they go to high school and they look like they're going to the Met Gala.
Their clothes are amazing.
What is going on with that? What is going on with that?
I think there is very little production value aside from the costumes. Like, everything else looks like it's really TV, like cheap TV, but the costumes are out there, and, you know, I feel like, all right, at least they're giving us something to look at.
It was really good.
Yeah, I guess.
For me, there was a profound message in the whole thing, and that was, you know, it's not about gender, which is what Kelsa kept saying, you know, see me for who I am rather than being defined by trans. And I thought that was really well done in the whole, you know, the whole movie itself. I love the support of the parents. I think, you know, it's not the typical story that we see on TV, and Kelsa's mum was amazing. But even, you know, Carl's mum and dad came around in the end and were very supportive. And I think, you know, often we see the unsupportive family, don't we? So it was really nice to see that. And I also liked that there was a bit of a focus on the reaction of their friends rather than necessarily the main characters of the show, because I thought, wow, you know, you don't necessarily think about what will be the impact on, you know, the friends surrounding a trans person, do you? And Susie, I don't know if you had those sorts of experiences, did you?
I didn't transition till much later, definitely not in high school, but it was really good to have, I think, what looks like a frank sort of representation of the kind of people around you that, you know, you might have people that are not as supportive, some of the people who are really supportive. You know, Carl's best friend turned out to be such a massive transphobe. That was a really good element, I think, because I think there is a lot of pressure when a cis man, usually a cis straight man, falls in love with a trans woman, and you know, the problem is like his support system not being able to understand or accept it. And I guess it's important that they showed how that was an element that would be very tricky. But obviously Carl was a much more intelligent and, you know, good person to not sort of to not sort of cave into those pressures. I too love the mother character. I think the level of performance that she gave was incredible.
Oh, cool, mom.
And yeah, and actually the performance across the board were great. Like, the film was directed by Billy Porter. You know, we know him from the Pose series that we love. He's Pray Tell in Pose. And I think you can see the quality of the performance is just great. Like, none of the characters, big or small, were boring. None of them were just like a bystander. None of them were unimportant. Even if they were small, they were full of color, they were full of life. And you could see that that's from that director and the kind of performance that he likes. Like, all of the characters were so interesting and so rich and full. So that's great.
Absolutely. We're chatting with Susie Rong about Anything's Possible, which is currently streaming on Amazon Prime. We've spoken a lot, you know, with you, Susie, about the fact that a lot of queer stories seem to be tumultuous and very like sad and traumatic stories. And and this movie, for me, even though there are moments of, you know, trauma and there are moments of conflict and there are moments of transphobia, there are these, you know, yuck moments, it's a very palatable movie in terms of the viewing pleasure, because you're pretty much having a nice time the whole time. And I wonder if that is good for queer cinema and good for queer TV and content.
I think it's good for queer viewers. Like, we can't only see traumatic stories about ourselves. And we do get a sense that this is quite, you know, fantastical, that that things work out so well for them. But I think we need to have that to sort of feel nourished a little bit, to balance all the other stories that are out. I was trying to think about, you know, another trans romance that sort of had this sort of quality of joy to it. And I feel like there probably isn't. I'm trying to think, but I can't think of anything. And so this is a teenage romance. So I guess it is, you know, saccharine sweet a little bit, but I do love that it's like, oh, it is a nice romantic
story.
Wasn't
uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shows that whether you're trans or you're someone who's not trans, but falling in love with someone who's trans, it kind of shows you how it can be and how you should think about your relationship and how you should behave in a relationship. I think that's really lovely.
In saying that, though, I really, really, really enjoyed the ending, because it wasn't what you expect when you talk about a sappy teenage romance. You know, I am probably going to give it away, but it's a really important thing for me to say, because I think that it's perfect. Like, I love that it's not.
And mature
as well.
And
then they walked
off
into the sun and they were holding hands forever and they kissed their lives away. Like, it wasn't that. And I really liked the realness of that, the rawness of that, and the fact that we know that Kelsa is lovable and smart and everything that she wants to be.
And emotionally mature,
whoever she wants to find. Like, I love that.
The way she dealt with it was amazing.
Yeah, I really like
it. It's interesting that it went so realistic at the end. I guess it was a good balance from, you
true
know,
that is
some of right. the school stuff that were quite dramatic.
The other thing I was going to say, and you touched on this, I think the animal references is fantastic. You know, we're all unique, and that animal names are based on, you know, some unique characteristic on each animal, and it's that also helps them survive. I mean, how good was that? I've never thought of that.
Yeah. So for listeners, it is about Kelsa, I guess, kind of thinking about herself and her being trans as being quite an unusual experience, and how she frames it in a way to say that it's a unique quality about her existence, but also something that is strong, that makes her special, that she can find sort of strength from it. And I think that's beautifully done. Yeah.
Susie, Kelsa didn't want to be called brave. She made that, you know, she made that quite clear. What are your thoughts on that?
It's hard to say that you're brave when you don't have a choice. Do you know what I mean? Because the word brave almost feels like you have a choice to not be brave. And I think for queer people who come out, it's usually a case of not having a choice. So you kind of don't feel like it is like, oh, I made the hard decision. But then again, you think about other queer people who haven't come out, other trans people who never transitioned. So I don't know how that word is appropriate, but I guess for people who don't understand the experience, it does look like a brave thing, because you do have to, you know, surmount a lot of challenges, you know, and the challenges are intense and they're daily. So it's a difficult existence. It still is. But brave, I don't know. I would say, you know, I mean, if you say a word like resilient, I think that that's more accurate.
Yeah, I agree. I think also, but I think brave too. I mean, some people probably do have really traumatic experiences in A, coming out, or in transitioning, and maybe it's more an individual thing. But I was just asking because I wasn't sure, is it something that, you know, we should be applying to all trans people and say, okay, we shouldn't use the word brave, or does that deny those that really are sticking their neck out and, you know, suffering all sorts of terrible consequences for being themselves?
Yeah, I can see how that word is might be accurate. It just doesn't feel like it, and you know. But also, it's certainly not an insulting word. It's a word full of, you know, flattery, and that's nice.
The other thing I thought too got from the film was the importance of having gender-neutral bathrooms in schools.
Yeah,
so important.
It's really weird. It's really weird the way we introduce gender to babies and children. Like, you know. How do you explain to a child that they have to go to one and not the other bathroom? We're like, well, what is the rationale? I can't remember what my parents taught me, but I'm trying to think, like, if I had a child and I brought them out to a cinema or something, and I say, you have to go to this one and not that one, and they say, why? Because they always say why, don't they? How do you answer that?
Yeah, totally.
It's so strange. But that's the way things are.
Watch it. It is called Anything's Possible. It is on Amazon Prime. Susie, what is our homework for next week?
A League of Their Own is now an 8-episode series on Amazon Prime Video. Let's see how many of those sportswomen are allowed to come out this time round.
A League of Their Own, also on Amazon Prime. Can't wait for that.
I'm a little bit trepidatious because do you remember the film from all those years ago?
No.
I just thought it was a bit weird that, you know, there were all these, like, really capable, really powerful, powerful, strong women playing sport, and there was, like, no lesbianism. But from what I hear, they have addressed that this time around. So I'm excited to talk about this with you, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Susie. We'll chat then.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.